This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
The Rich Cioli Show podcast.
You know, the first 100 days is a fake benchmark. It was really not something that presidents before Roosevelt used. And yet the story in the media right now is, oh, look at how unpopular President Donald Trump is. Look at how unpopular he is. The exact same polling methodology during the election, by the way, which showed him losing and losing big. So I guess what we can say is, wow, President Hillary Clinton is really, really unpopular since those polls are so accurate. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. CBSPhilly.com/Rich and on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Happy Monday. I mean, it's hilarious to me that since the election, polling methodology has not changed whatsoever. They are still relying on the exact same flawed polling methodology, and yet they're claiming now that suddenly these magic polls are correct. The same polls which showed Trump losing. So every day now, and every show, and every network show, they start off the show by saying he is the most unpopular president in American history. In the history of America, we've never had a more unpopular president. And they go down the line of this. And then they read excerpts from their polls. These are the same polls that showed this man losing the election. So if those polls were right back then, he shouldn't even be president now to be unpopular. In other words, he can't be president. If the polls are accurate now, showing him so unpopular, he's not president because Hillary Clinton's president, because they're the exact same polls. Nothing's changed. The polling industry didn't wake up on November 10th and go, all right, we really got to reevaluate things, and then actually reevaluate things. The polling industry woke up on November 10th, 99% of it. There were some that got it right, but the polling industry woke up on November 10th and said, all right, well, we're going to keep doing what we're doing because it's way too expensive to revamp our methodology. It's too much. We can't figure it out, and we're just going to go with it. And you have to suspend your disbelief if you are going to engage in a conversation watching these moronic shows, whether it's the Sunday shows or the morning shows now, or the evening shows, or the middle of the day shows, watching these moronic shows, and then they put up their poll numbers. And they say, look, he's more hated than anyone who's ever lived on the planet of Earth. He's so hated, he hates himself. 100% of Trump family members hate him now. You have to sit there like you're a moron who just got off a spaceship and wasn't here for the general election. Really, I sit there and I watch this and I think to myself, who are they talking to right now? Who is watching this and going, ah, those polls are so accurate? You literally have to have been either born yesterday, in which case, you're probably not watching TV yet. Or if you are, it's just a bunch of spaces and colors and shapes and some noise in the background, but you're not actually processing polling data. Or you just got here from another universe and you landed here and you go, wow, they have these polls about this very unpopular president. And let me caveat that. You landed here with zero historical information about the previous presidential election. So you just go, oh, they have this really unpopular president. They don't tell you that this guy who won the election was supposed to lose the election in a massive landslide, by the way. Not just lose, but lose in a historic going out of business kind of a way landslide. The kind of landslide that people would talk about for years. It was going to be the kind of landslide where people walked around and the name Trump would have a bad connotation, like mud, like the farmer from the Lincoln assassination. When people say that phrase, your name is mud, well, it'd be your name is Trump. I mean, that's how bad it was supposed to be. And yet, we are now supposed to believe a couple things. Number one, he's so incredibly unpopular. Number two, Trump supporters are turning on him left and right. Just left and right. They are just fed up, and they've been sold a bad bill of goods, and they're out. They're done. They're out. And then every now and then you see a poll that shows that if the election were held today, he would actually still win the election that's being held today. So here's my advice to you. My advice would be for everybody to not look at a poll from now until midterm elections, because maybe by then pollsters will have had a chance to revamp their methodology. You know, I listen to some of these professional pundits on TV, Karl Rove and these others, who go, well, this is a wake-up call for the Republican Party, these poll numbers. What has changed about your methodology that would tell me these polls are right when all the other polls were 100% wrong in the election? Not 100%, 99.5% wrong. There were a couple that were right, but not many. They were the outliers. They were truly the outliers. So think about it from that perspective. You had Nate Silver giving Hillary Clinton an 86% chance of winning the election. The Huffington Post gave Hillary Clinton a 142% chance of winning the election. I might be exaggerating that by like a margin or two. You had some sites that gave her a, I'm not even kidding, I saw one site had her a 99% chance of winning the day of the election. There was another site that had Trump with a 0% chance of winning. So these polling sites, and whether they're polling or they're actually just compiling the data, that was November, literally November 8th and November 9th, because on election day, people walked into those polling places believing that this election was over. So what has changed from then until now today, April 24th? And why is this industry allowed to get away with this without people having to demand that they release their methodology in terms of what's changed from then until now? See, they're running this con on the news, and they're showing this with such purported authenticity, and they've got the authority on this. And you have to just sit there and wonder, why doesn't anyone call them out on this and say, can you explain to us in the last 6 months what you've done differently so now we can believe these polls versus the polls of the election? It's truly remarkable. The other thing we're supposed to believe is that because Trump hasn't, quote unquote, gotten anything done in the first 100 days, that his base has turned on him. That's the other nonsense we're supposed to believe. So what has President Trump accomplished in the first 100 days? Well, number one, he's got a Supreme Court justice appointed. And you know what's funny about that now? Is that the people that hate him turn around and go, oh, big deal. That's nothing. Why is that nothing? That's kind of a big deal. Putting a Supreme Court justice on the Supreme Court, not just nominating him, but actually having him confirmed, is a huge deal. It's a very, very big deal. But Trump has also rolled back regulations in a big, big way as well. See, I'm the kind of guy, this is me anyway, maybe you feel differently about this. I'm the kind of person, I want Washington doing as little as possible. So what I would like them to do is to go in and roll back a bunch of things. Roll back taxes, roll back Obamacare, roll back regulations, and then stay out of my life. Leave me alone and just protect us from bad guys from invading us. That's it. That's all I ask. That's all I need you to do. I don't need you to change anything, fix things. Just get roll back things, get rid of regulations, roll back taxes, roll back Obamacare, and then stay the hell out of my life. And then, you know, if there's a bad guy trying to invade our country, then make sure that we are not invaded by the bad guy. Otherwise, I'm good. I don't need you. But we have this mentality in this country where we judge Washington's productivity by how much legislation they pass. Why is that? Where did that come from? When did that become a thing in this country where we will judge the productivity of Congress and the president according to how many laws were signed? This is something that happened when, I guess, during Barack Obama's presidency, they kept yelling that the Republicans were obstructing him and he couldn't get this done or that done or that done or this done. So he would go to executive orders and he would try to one-up the Constitution, usurp it by using his executive authority on things the Congress would not give him legislatively. Now, President Trump has not done that. What President Trump has done is use the power of the executive to roll back regulations, which he is empowered to do under the law and also under the Constitution. But he hasn't created any new laws. He hasn't done anything new. So that's where we are with that. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. Throughout the program today, I'll go through the 11 ways Trump has rolled back regulations in 100 days. I'll give you a little bit of tease here. Number one, regulations governing the coal mining industry. Mandated by President Barack Obama. This is a key point. When you have people in your life who say to you, oh, but you Republicans were, or you conservatives were hammering Obama for all these executive orders, what I'd like for you to say to them is, here's why this is a circumstance that is constitutional. Don't say why this is different, because that's what everybody says to justify how their guy's doing it. He shouldn't be, but that's what they do all the time. They go, well, it's different because, no. It's constitutional because executive actions can be undone by another executive. That's why they're called executive actions. That's why they're not laws. So it's constitutional for the president to undo previous executive actions. That's all you have to say. Don't say why it's different, because I hear that all the time with people. They go, well, it's different this time around. No. It's constitutional for a president to roll back previous president's executive actions. And the next guy who follows President Trump could also undo his executive actions as well and put in other executive actions. That's why executive actions should be used sparingly. unless you're rolling back other executive actions, in which case have at it, because if you have a previous chief executive who has used executive actions, now you have a new guy coming in, he can undo those executive actions. And that's entirely within the context of not only Article 2 of the Constitution, but common sense. So President Barack Obama finalized regulations and mandated them that threatened to put domestic extraction companies and their employees at an unfair disadvantage. The resolution signed by Trump in February repealed the rule and could save American businesses as much as $600 million annually, according to Sean Spicer. And Mia Love, who is a congresswoman from Utah who's fantastic, she said, she tweeted out that day, pleased to be in the Oval Office for signing of HJ Res 41, which undoes burdensome regulations for key employers. But this was actually a House joint resolution. So that was actually a law that the president undid, which is another thing that he's been doing. The laws that he's been signing, for the most part, have been rolling back regulations, which is fantastic. House Joint Resolution 38, which he also signed, which are regulations defining streams in the coal industry. He got rid of that as well. And House Joint Resolution 40, which is regulations restricting firearms for disabled citizens. I want to spend a minute on that, too. But you see what these House Joint Resolutions are that he signed, and there's a number of them, in addition to the executive actions, because the Congress is empowered to roll back executive actions or any administrative action put in place within a certain time period. Congress can do that almost like that. And it's a great thing. And then send it right to the president's desk. Just fast track it. And those last minute executive and administrative dictates can be undone in a foul swoop. It's a fantastic thing. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. Steven is in Princeton. Hey, Steven.
Hey, what's up, Rich? I love the show.
Thank you.
I hope you can hear me. My window, the back window's open. But I work at a polling place in Princeton, New Jersey. And we have not changed anything there since the election. I'm also going to comment that a lot of the people that end up taking these surveys, we do surveys for Fox and Monmouth University Polling Institute. The people that end up taking the surveys are not conservatives, I believe. I think the people that actually want to talk are more liberal. So that is one thing that sways the result. And it's just a big mess, really.
So you work at a polling company. How did you guys have, or your data, what did it show in terms of the general election for president back in November?
That was definitely always swaying towards Hillary. A lot of the times my supervisor will tell me the results of the polls and who's winning. And back when the election was running, it was always Hillary winning.
So you had Hillary winning then, and the methodology has not changed. You're confirming what I said in my opening monologue. So here we are in April. The methodology has not changed. And I assume now the new polls that all show Donald Trump being historically unpopular.
Oh, yeah. That's the first question we ask in these surveys is, do you approve or disapprove of Donald Trump? And that being a first question, I think that also can sway how people answer. You know, it's just not 100% accurate. I agree.
And how are you guys in the polling industry these days targeting people who don't have landlines anymore?
It's very hard. We have, there's laws that say we can't call people on a cell phone unless we're calling them on a cell phone ourselves. That's not the law. We have to actually dial the number if we're calling cell phones. You can't just have an automatic dialer dialing cell phones.
Right.
So it makes it a lot harder to get people on cell phones, so you're not reaching millennials, you're not reaching younger people, you end up reaching older people, and, not as good.
Hey, well, thanks for the insight on that, Stephen. I appreciate it. Very, very helpful. And take care, man. I think I know where you work, but I'm not going to say it on the air. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 on a cell. All right, Joe is in South Philly. Joe!
Hi, I just, whenever someone mentions to me how unpopular Trump is, I just remind them that the most unpopular president in American history was Abraham Lincoln.
But, I reject the notion that Trump is unpopular. That's my point. I understand your analogy, and I respect your analogy, and I'm not trying in any way, shape, or form to say you're wrong. Lincoln was incredibly unpopular. But I reject the notion that Trump is so unpopular. Joe?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for the call, buddy. Appreciate it. I just reject the notion because the polling data has not changed. So I'm looking at flawed science here. Everybody is in the nation throughout the. So here's what I'll say. If Trump is so unpopular, there has to be a better way to quantify it. And if these polls are all wrong and Trump is as popular as he was going into the election because he hasn't lost any of his core base yet and other people are giving him a chance, then doesn't that also show something remarkable about the state of our politics in this country where even though we had an election where all the polls were wrong, we still take that as gospel as we pronounce the fate of a president in not even 100 days yet, who's coming to Pennsylvania, by the way, for a big rally Saturday night here in Pennsylvania, the state that handed him the election, Pennsylvania. He's coming here Saturday. So doesn't that say something about the state of the media, the state of politics, that they will still rely on the same flawed science, flawed data, and pronounce the president politically dead when they pronounced him politically dead on November 8th using the exact same methodology? It's remarkable to me. It really is. It's remarkable. 855-839-1210, #1210 in the South. Throughout the afternoon, I will give you more ways Trump has rolled back regulations in his first 100 days, which to me, as a guy who wants limited government, you give me a good Supreme Court justice who's conservative, a textualist, an originalist, you give me rolled back regulations, I'm a happy guy. I'm a happy guy.
We're back with the Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
You see, it just drives me crazy because I used to work in politics, so I don't know how they win elections these days with all these flawed polling methodologies. 855-839-1210. #1210 on a cell. By the way, there's an election going on in France, and I will talk about that a little bit later in the show. I know some people have questions about it. It's just funny to me how the media always refers to the woman in the race as far right. It's something only people on the right have to deal with, is being far right. Nobody's ever far left. It's just amazing how that always works. Okay, so let's see now. I might be going to, hopefully I'm going to Berkeley on Thursday, and then I'll be dying in a North Korean missile strike on Friday. So I won't be at the John Kasich event Friday night. I think that's how the timeline goes. Because Kim Jong-un has threatened to blow up San Francisco. Did you know that?
Uh-oh.
Yeah, Kim Jong Nutjob, fat boy over there with the bad haircut, inbred, he's threatening he's threatening to just destroy the United States of America. So I don't think the guy's got range, but if he could hit anything, I guess it would be either an island in the Pacific or possibly San Francisco.
You can't say island in the Pacific.
That's very racist. I apologize to the native people of Hawaii. If he hits San Francisco and I'm out there, though, then boom, I guess it's over. So, Kim Jong-un threatening Pyongyang. Pyongyang is threatening to just decimate, it's over the United States of America. It's over, they say. So there you go.
Well, now that he's threaten that, does that change things in a military way?
Sure.
Somebody, right?
Yeah. I mean, if I threaten somebody, then I've provoked them. So it's a he said, she said sort of thing. But I don't know if that then means we should respond militarily, but it certainly has changed the dynamics of things, which is why the entire Senate is going to the White House for a North Korea briefing by Secretary Tillerson and Secretary Mathis.
They better send Rodman over there. Play
Rodman's got to go
with him, and you know
he's the secret spy. Told you that he's the secret spy. Dennis Rodman holds the key to world peace. It's tattooed on him. You just have to decode it. It's there on his back. Let's play an audio clip, shall we, of the President of the United States discussing North Korea. This is cut number 11.
The status quo in North Korea is also unacceptable. And the Council must be prepared to impose additional and stronger sanctions on North Korean nuclear and ballistic missile programs. This is a real threat to the world, whether we want to talk about it or not. North Korea is a big world problem, and it's a problem we have to finally solve. People have put blindfolds on for decades, and now it's time to solve the problem.
Nikki Haley, who is the secretary to the ambassador to the United Nations, was also discussing this on the Today Show today. Take a listen.
Well, I think what you're seeing is, Kim Jong-un is starting to flex his muscles because he feels the pressure. Last week, the Security Council unanimously condemned what North Korea is doing with their testing. China has been considerably helpful in putting pressure on him. And I think he's just trying to show his strength to the people of his country.
But we've been talking about containing North Korea for decades now, and it's not working. What new can you come up with?
Well, working with China for the first time, they have really been our partner in trying to make sure that we hold him at bay. And I think it's a new day when you've got China and the United States working together on a statement to condemn North Korea. They've put pressure on him. He feels it. That's why he's responding this way. And I think it is a different day. What we have said from the beginning and what I'll continue to say is the United States is not looking for a fight. So don't give us a reason to have one.
Poison cheesecake. There's only one answer. Poison cheesecake, strawberry topping, or chocolate.
Yeah, I'm telling you, send a mob boss over there, man.
Just whack the guy and end it. Although the problem, though, is that that is an act of war. I understand. But then the next guy who takes over for him is probably going to be as wacky, right?
Yes.
It's not like someone's going to take over and then want to be a good actor on the world stage, I don't think. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. I have a hard time believing that it ends with Kim Jong-un. Right? Yeah. I don't know. That's just my sense. Maybe it is. Maybe it's a ding dong, the witch is dead moment. You know, ding dong, the fat inbred dictator is dead.
With a bad haircut.
Yeah, with a bad. Is that a song?
Yeah.
Ding dong, the fat inbred dictator with a bad haircut is dead. That's not as catchy, right? As the witch is dead. But so there you go. That's the status of that. We shall see. Okay, Debbie Schuschel. Oh. Debbie Schuschel. Ding dong, the. Fat inbred dictator with a bad haircut is dead. Ding dong, the fat inbred dictator with a bad haircut is dead.
But remember what happened, you know, when they killed that witch, then it sent a message to all the bad witches.
All the bad witches got a message, a talking to. That's right. Don't mess with us, you bad witches, you. We shall see what happens there. And, of course, now... John Kasich has spoken. You have a chance to see John Kasich Friday night at the National Museum of the American Revolution this coming Friday with Dom Giordano. John Kasich was on the show. What show was he on, Greg? Do you know?
I think this was Meet the Press.
Meet the Press.
Yes.
I don't watch the Sunday shows anymore. I boycott them now because I want to have a nice Sunday. John Kasich, cut number 8.
In Ohio today, we are more united. You know why? Because I'm not playing that stupid political game. And I think political parties are on their way out, essentially. Sanders is talking about reconstructing the Democratic Party. I think people care less about party. They want action and things done. But it's not just politicians, John. It's where you work and where you live and what you do.
More on that Friday night with John Kasich and Dom Giordano. He's talking about Bernie Sanders there, by the way, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later in the show because Bernie says the Democratic Party is not working anymore. How about that? Yes, that's right. But John Kasich, Friday night, the Museum of the American Revolution. You can go there and for an extra $5, get a tour, special tour for all of our listeners. Go to cbsphilly.com/speaker-series. Joe is in Newark. Joe, how are you? Happy Monday.
Rich, thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
We don't have an American press anymore. I think anybody that's reasonable in their logic knows that. We have a banana republic. The polling data is just meant to demoralize and to manipulate. It's completely false. But it's not false because of a mathematical formula. It's false because it's meant to be false. It's meant to manipulate the people. I mean, the liberal left has infiltrated the mass media on multiple levels, and I think that's what people need to understand. It's not that their polling data is incorrect. It's actually meant to manipulate and to steer people.
I think some are, not all of them, but I think some polls are certainly meant to do that, but not all of them.
I mean, if you have such renowned mathematicians where tens of thousands of dollars are riding on the line, and you're not making an adjustment based off of the last result that just came in with this presidential election, but I have to believe that you're being manipulated. You have to have some level of an intelligence enough to know that your formula's not working, but yet they keep doing it. So there's a different motive behind it.
All right, thanks for the call, Joe. Appreciate it. 855-839-1210, #1210 in a cell. All right, a lot to get to, and our song, Ding Dong, the Fat Inbred Dictator with a Bad Haircut, is now number 1 on Amazon. So
wow.
You can download it just like that. It's amazing how quickly that happens.
Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
So the amazing thing about the Democratic Party right now is they realize that they are so screwed, they have to welcome pro-lifers into the party. It's remarkable how this is happening. Welcome back. 855-839-1210, #1210 in a cell. It is remarkable how they realize now they are so back up against the wall. They've been devastated in elections across the country. And they now actually have to welcome people who don't believe abortion is something that you should pray at an altar or something you should ever do. So they're welcoming people who are pro-life into the Democratic Party. This is desperation for them because they had almost purged all the pro-life Democrats. There were only a few left. But Nancy Pelosi, the face of the Democratic Party going forward, the future, if you will, the Democratic Party at 116 years old. Nancy Pelosi has spoken on Meet the Press with Chuck Todd. Cut seven.
But can you be a Democrat and the support of the Democratic Party if you're pro-life?
Of course. Of course. I have served for many years in Congress with members who have not shared my very positive, my family would say, aggressive position on promoting a woman's right to choose. But what you asked at the first part of the question before you went off was about what unifies Democrats. And what unifies, people say to me all the time, oh, you do such a good job unifying the House Democrats. I say, I don't. Our values unify us.
So there are, she spent many years serving with pro-life Democrats, many years. And they've all been locked away in a basement at the bottom of the House of Representatives. And they're chained up, and we feed them. I don't want you to think we starve them to death. But they are locked up. They're not allowed to leave. And but what really unites us is... it's amazing.
It's like that scene in Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah, we throw them lotion. They can water the lotion, the bodies. She doesn't... She starts that, and she quickly gets off the pro-life Democratic member. She doesn't name any names. You notice that? There are no names mentioned. He's going, I share with many of them. Can we have a name? Well, they're all chained, busy right now, stalking children in the woods. Can we hear that one more time, please, from the beginning?
Of course.
But can you be a Democrat and the support of the Democratic Party if you're pro-life?
Of course. Of course. I have served for many years in Congress with members who have not shared my very positive, my family would say, aggressive position on promoting a woman's right to choose. But what you asked at the first part of the question
before you went off. I've served many years.
Off,
I can't remember their names because they're all buried in the backyard of the Capitol. But that's not what I want to talk about, so I'm going to back away from it. He should have followed up and said, can you give us a name of one pro-life Democrat you've served with, worked with, did a deal with, did a bill with, anything? Well, it's not what I want to talk about. All right, that's the future of the Democratic Party here. So Bernie Sanders has come out, and Bernie said, look, we're doing it wrong here. We're not going to win anymore. Take a listen.
I think what is clear to anyone who looks at where the Democratic Party today is that the model of the Democratic Party is failing. We have a Republican president who ran...
Stop for a second. Do you think the model that they use, the actual model, is Maxine Waters or Nancy Pelosi? Who's the model? And do they switch off, you think, depending on... Because when I hear him say the model's not working, I agree, Bernie. I do agree. Which one of them is the model, though? And is there a different model depending on the day? All right, just checking.
I had to start that over, I hope you don't mind.
Go ahead.
I think what is clear to anyone who looks at where the Democratic Party today is that the model of the Democratic Party is failing. We have a Republican president who ran as a candidate, as the most unpopular candidate in modern history of this country. Republicans control the House, the Senate, two-thirds of governor's chairs. And in the last 8 years, they have picked up 900 legislative seats. Clearly, the Democratic Party has got to change. And in my view, what it has got to become is a grassroots party, a party which makes decisions from the bottom on up, a party which is more dependent on small donations than large donations. A party, John, that speaks to the pain of the working class in this country.
A party you are not invited to. Tom is in Summers Point, New Jersey. Hello, Tom.
Hey, Rich. How you doing today? I'm
good.
Sitting here cracking up because we're way off the subject of polling. And when you were talking about the new model for the Democratic Party, I pictured Nancy Pelosi and Right Said Fred at that old song. I shake my saggy tush on the catwalk.
Oh, boy. I don't need to see that in my mind. I don't need that mental image. You know what I mean?
Anyway,
thank you, though.
Okay, back to polling, if you could give me a second. I definitely think that the polling's skewed, but no one's accounting for the fact they're criticizing Trump for where he is in the first 100 days, the lowest polls in history. Rich, I don't know the answer to this question, but how much does the biased media, finger on a scale that's not neutral affect the poll numbers that people are that they're coming in, even if the poll numbers are wrong?
Well, it's like anything else, right? If the media spends so much time reporting it, even though we know the methodology is flawed because the election results were wrong, then I think it does show you a lot of bias, right? Because what if the media wasn't biased against Trump? And Tom, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a great rest of the day. If the media wasn't biased against Trump, Tom raises a great point, they would probably not spend so much time on the polls. Whether the polls are trying to manipulate you or not, obviously they don't work, right? See, I had a caller in the last segment who said the polling data was designed to influence the public, but it didn't work. If that is what some pollsters do, it didn't work. So now here we are with the media reporting on flawed methodology, flawed polling. And why do they spend so much time reporting on that instead of reporting on how can these polls be accurate? Just ask yourself, have you seen one story about that? If it's not just bias, then there should be at least a segment on that, right? Scott Pelley tonight during his CBS Evening News should, when he spends the first 5 minutes about how unpopular Trump is, spend the next 5 minutes on how these polls can possibly be correct, considering how wrong they were back in November. But they don't do that. Chuck Todd doesn't do it. Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd doesn't do it. And the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos, who never was Bill Clinton's communications director, doesn't do it. They just don't do it. So that's where you can really get a sense of the bias, I think. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell. All right. So the let's go another way. Trump has rolled back regulations in 100 days. Very important to me that these regulations get rolled back. Regulations restricting firearms for disabled citizens. This is one of those things where people freaked out. The hysteria again came out about this because they said that Donald Trump and the Republicans were going to give guns to crazy people. That was the hysteria that came out. It was written in op-eds throughout the papers across the country. It was all over the place. The hysteria, the pure hysteria that severely mentally ill people would be given guns by the government. I mean, it was ridiculous. The rule, finalized during Obama's last weeks in office, this is House Joint Resolution 40, sought to prevent some Americans with disabilities from purchasing or possessing firearms based on their decision to seek Social Security benefits. The repeal protects the Second Amendment's rights of the disabled, said Senate Judiciary Chairman Chuck Grassley. Those rights will no longer be able to be revoked without a hearing and without due process. It will take more than the personal opinion of a bureaucrat. So what happened here was Americans were wrongly stereotyped with being unable to exercise a constitutional right and without due process, without a judge, without any sort of administrative way for them to even try to get their rights back. The government just took away their rights because they filed for a provision of Social Security benefits and somebody else was going to be their designee on those forms. That rule that Obama put in place automatically took away their Second Amendment rights. And that's crazy. And you see, your due process rights are not done by a class. It's not a due process isn't a class right. It's an individual right. And that was taken away by Obama, and President Trump put it back in place. He restored the due process rights for millions of Americans who have taken advantage of this Social Security disability benefit. And if there is reason to believe they should not possess a firearm, there are due process ways in which that person will then be unable to possess a firearm. But this more of the hysteria. Anyway, I'll give you more of this throughout the afternoon. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in a cell, and cbsphilly.com/rich. Have you had to deal with any of the road closures up by you for the draft?
Well, yes, in the sense that, in other words, they're doing all this road work anyway right now in the city of Philadelphia. I don't know if you're aware of this. And then on top of it,
you know what? Next thing you're to tell me is 95's under construction. Come on.
I know it's a shocker. But the problem is if the Schuylkill's backed up and then the drive.
If the Schuylkill's backed up.
So to go around the art museum area, that's out of commission because of the draft thing. So it's a disaster. I actually have relatives who decided to stay in the center city because they had so much business in the city and they didn't want to commute.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
And you're up in, you live in the city. So for you particularly, it's problematic, I would imagine.
Yeah, I think anybody trying to get in and out of center city, and sometimes you rely on the drives, either Kelly or West River, what's now Martin Luther King, you don't have the drives anymore. You don't have an alternate route. because of this. So.
It's just utter chaos. Yeah. NFL draft road closures have many residents frustrated. Apparently, it was going to be 39,000 hotel rooms will be filled for the draft next week. This week?
Is it this week?
So there you go. That's a lot of hotel rooms. 39,000 hotel rooms expected to be filled in Philadelphia for the NFL draft. And according to Julie Coker Graham, president and CEO of the Philadelphia Convention and Visitors Bureau, do you know her? Is that someone you know?
I've met her before, yes.
We're projecting a total of 39,000 rooms that will be consumed.
Which is a good thing. Hopefully it's a good thing for Philadelphia.
Great thing for Philadelphia and for exterminators, because that many people coming in brings bed bugs. Am I right?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
So if you are a hotelier or a exterminator, you are going to have a good week, I think. Because I'm fumigating those bad boys at the end of this draft. No offense to the people who come in for the draft. It's just that many people, statistically, one or two are having some sort of a little friend coming with them. You know what I mean?
So bring the Lysol.
Dawn does not stay in hotels, Greg. I found that out. Did you know that?
Really?
She does not stay in hotels.
I do sometimes.
You don't stay in hotels. Before you do, you burn the room. What do? You set it on fire. Then you put up that plastic tarp like in Breaking Bad, and then you sleep in the room?
Yeah, you have to take off the bedspread because they don't wash that every time. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yeah, that's a no-brainer.
And bring the Lysol.
I flip the mattress every time I go into a... hotel, just
you.
To make sure that
I'm
no
surrounded by these two. This is amazing to me.
And if you flip the mattress, then
crazy
you
and crazier,
and bring your own pillows. You could bring my pillow, right?
Why
bring
not just
pillow.
Stay in your own house then? If you're bringing your own bed, well, Dawn brings her own bed in. She's got a bed on a. On
Pack
a
it up.
Greg flips the mattress. Dawn brings in her own bed. I bring in my own toilet. That's what I do. I refuse to use the hotel's toilet. So now this is fascinating to me, that bedspread. You ever see those undercover things where you know what I'm talking about, the black light?
Yes.
And they go
nasty.
In there and they use the black light on the bedspread. That's a little bit.
And it's not like cheap hotels that this happens in. It's five-star hotels that these are happening in.
Right.
Like the Four Seasons, I'm sure. I would still flip the mattress if I stayed there. Yep.
But let's be clear, though. The bed bugs at the Four Seasons are very 1% kind
Absolutely,
of bed bugs.
Yeah.
They're a different breed of bed bug. You know what I mean? They're much more...
They have a tuxedo
and
yeah,
a they're
top
luxurious,
hat and, a
and yep. they not only just bite you, but they bite you with some panache.
Oh,
you know what
course,
I mean?
Yeah.
So, you
yeah.
know, they're not all bad.
They want your blood.
They do
Did
want
you
your
know,
blood.
Bed bugs actually are choosy. So, in other words... it could be Rich and Bridget.
They like fat Italians. I heard
yeah.
that. They
so do. It's your body heat. So yeah. you could wake up covered in bed bug bites and rashes, and Bridget would be like, well, I don't have anything. It couldn't have been bed bug. They actually choose a host, and it has to do with your body heat and all that stuff. I'm not kidding you. I did a story on this.
They choose the midday host, I heard. They like the, not the afternoon host. The only way to kill them is heat, you said, right?
That's the best way to kill them in all their stages, the eggs and the whole stages.
I'm just picturing you walking into a hotel room with a giant heat lamp, you know, and setting the room to like 125 degrees,
yep.
bringing in your own mattress and then your own sheets and your own bed. And that must be such a relaxing experience for you when you go to a hotel. Well, there you go. The NFL draft, road closures. And when is this nonsense over anyway?
It's all weekend, right?
It's all weekend, and then it's over by Sunday, right?
I just hope we do this right, because I feel like every time something comes to the city, whether it's the Pope or whatever, like we always make big deals out of things, and I hope we don't overreact, you know, to all these people coming to the city.
The Pope thing was amazing, because we were there and they had shut the city off in such a way that there was tumbleweed literally
That's
going
right.
through the streets.
That's
remember
right.
that? It was insane.
And they made
and the pat
every,
downs
and the pat. Well, remember you had to walk, so you had to. We took the train in,
mm-hmm.
and then took SEPTA in, and then they made us walk like across the Vine all
yep.
the way around. You disabled people. It was like insane.
It was a police state for a few days.
It was.
There were literally tanks in the streets. I mean, it was like a different country.
Yeah, it really was. It was North Korea.
It really was. And then there were parts of the city where you could walk down. I saw a pack of wolves running on South Street at one point. It was unbelievable to me.
That's my whole point. I just hope we don't overreact like we do to
yeah.
other
and then after it was over, do you remember how angry so many restaurateurs were
yep,
after
yes.
that?
Yep.
They said they were all going, "You scared everybody away."
Yep.
Jim Kenny, you scared or Nutter? It was Nutter at the time, right? Well, who was it? Maybe it was the combo platter of those two.
No, it was Kenny, I believe.
It was Kenny.
It was Kenny.
Yeah.
They scared everybody away.
Yeah.
Nobody was around to buy anything.
Yeah, part of the issue is, to Greg's point, that if they're doing all-inclusive kind of stuff, like with this NFL, then that's what upsets the restaurants. You know what I mean? Like, if they're doing all-inclusive packages, then people aren't going to the hotels.
Exactly. It becomes a self-sustaining proposition.
Exactly.
So Pat on Twitter would like to know, why did they not have the draft at the Link instead of inconveniencing so many people?
It's a great point.
Great point.
Yeah, is the Link where they play football and this is the NFL draft? Why? It seems to make sense. I'm no sports guy, but that does seem to make a little bit of sense, right?
Right. It would have been like having the DNC at the art museum.
Yeah.
Instead of having it out, you know, where we had it.
Oh, that would have been terrible for people.
And it holds 70,000 people, so I mean, you know.
Yeah, you could. And last time I checked, you can plug in a camera there, so there's no reason why they couldn't have filmed it there. It makes no sense to me. Well, it's a great question, Pat. I don't know the reason why that is. And Paulette would like some advice for you, Dawn. She'd like to give you some advice. Tell Dawn to spray the mattress seams with alcohol. Carry alcohol in a spray bottle. My man is an exterminator, period, she says.
Yep, I'm with you.
There
you
go.
I just didn't want to say it because then he'd tease me even more.
I carry alcohol and I drink the alcohol is what I do. Screw the bed bugs. They're not getting my alcohol.
Put some bourbon on
that. They're not getting my booze.
She means rubbing alcohol.
Oh, all right. Well, if times are tough. 855-839-1210, pound 1210 in the South. CBSPhilly.com/Rich.
Rich Cioli, 3 till 6. Talk Radio 1210. WPHD.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.